Our scripture reading is found in the Gospel according to John and chapter 6, reading from verse 22. John chapter 6 from verse 22. What has gone before is the feeding of the 5,000. Christ has miraculously, from 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fishes, fed a great multitude of people. So John chapter 6 from verse 22. John 6 from verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which Jesus and his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread, after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and give life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who could understand it?" But when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. And we trust God's blessing to rest on this solemn portion of his holy word. Our text is found in the chapter that we read, John's Gospel, in chapter 6 and verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." A great concern of most people today and through the ages has been this life, our daily life, our daily existence. Most people are, to use the expression, its common usage, materialists. Not that they deny the existence of something beyond this world, but that their minds very rarely go beyond this world. And we all have a tendency to that. We see this world, we touch this world, we touch the material, we see the material, we do not see the spiritual realm, we do not see God, we see his work, but we do not see him. And Jesus, in our passage, is faced with people whose one great concern was the material. Beginning of this chapter, we have this account of the feeding of the 5,000, in which the Lord Jesus miraculously provided for the physical needs. But the miracles of Christ are not mere displays of power, and they are not confined and directed towards this material world, but they are designed as signs to lift our eyes from this world, to lift up our hearts to consider spiritual things, deeper realities. And so the miracle is designed to direct our eyes to Jesus Christ as the bread which came down out of heaven. We need food. and dread was at the time of Christ the staple food in that part of the world. That was what people lived on. Hence in the Lord's Prayer we ask God to give us this day our daily bread, those things which are necessary for the body but also for the soul. And you see, the problem was that these people thought only of the present life. They were materialists. They were looking for Jesus to be a king who would provide physical food for them and get rid of the Romans so they wouldn't have to pay taxes. They were thoroughly materialistic. But Jesus' message was that we need more than the material. We need food for our souls. What is it provides for our souls? And so we have in this passage from verse 22 through to verse 59, first of all, a complaint made by the Lord Jesus. Secondly, he speaks of those coming. And thirdly, we have a call. So we have a complaint. We have Jesus' complaint to the materialists. Verse 26, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You are looking, he says, not for me, as I truly am. You are not looking for salvation for your souls. This is a problem, you see. It is the vast majority of mankind have no concern at all for eternal things. Why is it that people bustle up and down past this chapel on the Lord's Day? Why is it that this world is full of hustle and bustle and busyness in the markets? Why is it that on Christmas Eve, when the shops are open, the streets are crowded, but on Christmas morning, when the churches are open, when the chapel doors are open, and people are called to come not to provide for physical things, but to come and to worship God and to receive the gift that God has given in the Lord Jesus Christ, why is it then that the streets are emptied? It is for this reason that men's minds are set on earthly things and not upon the provision that God gives in Jesus Christ. People are not concerned for their souls. The great concern is how we are to live in this world. People are concerned about finances. People are concerned about relationships in this world, human relationships. People are concerned about their future in this world, but not with the future that is to come when we leave this world behind, or when this present age shall cease and the Lord will come in glory to judge the living and the dead and usher in a new world. People are not thinking about these things. And that is Jesus' complaint. Your thoughts do not rise, he said to these people, above earthly matters. They do not rise above earthly food. Now the earthly food is necessary. If we do not have food, we die. We need it. But it is not all that is necessary. This world is passing away. This world is passing away. The cemeteries are becoming fuller by the day. More and more people are passing into eternity. This world passes away. And yet, people think so little of the world to come and of eternal things. So that in fact we get people whose theologies are like the theology of these Galileans. A theology that is focused on the world, on present things. You have people saying the churches should talk more about finances. I am not a qualified financial advisor, and I would advise you, if you want financial advice, to go to one. It is not my place to talk about finances. It is not the place of the church to teach you about finances. It's the place of the church to point to the Lord Jesus Christ and to say, here is eternal riches. It is our place to say with the Lord Jesus Christ, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth and the rust corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where the moth and the rust do not corrupt, and no thieves break in or steal. To say, look unto Jesus, in him, we sang, there dwells a treasure all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. That is the treasure that we point to. And the bread that we point to, it is Christ. The work of the church is to hold up the Lord Jesus Christ and to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what did these Galileans say when confronted with the Lord Jesus' complaint? They said, show us a sign. Show us a sign. They had seen many signs. They followed him because of the signs. They had been fed in a miraculous sign. Why do they say, show us a sign? Why does the world say, show us a sign? Because it wants an excuse for unbelief. See, the world says to the Lord Jesus, show us a sign so we may ignore every other sign you've ever done. All the signs, they say, we will ignore them. Give us a sign. And the Lord Jesus replies elsewhere, there will be no sign given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And that is the sign of the resurrection, that Jesus died on the cross, was laid in the grave, and on the third day, the first day of the week, he rose again from the dead victorious. That is the sign that we have, the sign of the resurrection of the Son of God. They sought a selfish sign, but Jesus said, no, you must have not physical bread. They had jobs, they had work, these were not destitute beggars. These were not people who were unable to work. And Jesus said, no, you have the means to provide physical food. But I have come to give what you cannot provide. What man cannot provide, that is spiritual food. And so we come through the Lord's words about the one coming to him. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Here is what we need. You see, King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. There is something within us that longs and thirsts and needs spiritual food. Something that is not of the earth, but is of God, and longs and looks for God. And yet, at the same time, there is in us a rebellion and a hatred to God. Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. That is to say, first of all, he is the one who satisfies the soul. There is nothing else that can satisfy the soul. Material things, physical things cannot satisfy the soul. A horse leech, says a proverb, has three daughters who cry out, give, give, and are never satisfied. The materialist, the one who seeks to satisfy the soul with material things, always adding things to things and stuff to stuff, and never satisfied. There can be no satisfaction to the soul in mere material stuff. The great theologian Augustine puts it like this in his Confessions. He says, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." But in later life he would confess at the same time that man doesn't want to come to God. "You will not come," says Jesus, "that you will have everlasting life. You will not come that you'll be satisfied." Why is it that we see this mad rush to acquire stuff, to acquire money, to acquire fame? There are those who care nothing for money, but who would have their name in life. But what is fame? Is fleeting. It is fleeting. Passes away. When I was a student, I met a friend of some housemates of mine who said he wanted to be a famous musician. Poor fellow, he had dropped out of school and was unemployed on benefits, seeking after this phantom, this will-o'-the-wisp. And I said to him, "You want to be famous? Well, have you ever heard of Edgar Wallace, the writer?" He said, "No." He said, "He was famous in the 1930s and the 1920s, the man who wrote the screenplay for King Kong. He was famous. But now, very few have heard the name. Fame passes away. This world," says John, "passes away. The world is passing away, and all that it desires is passing away. And so the soul can never be satisfied with the things of this world, because they are passing away. But Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. He already existed. You push that beginning as far back as you like, and Jesus already was. In the beginning was the Word. And when this vain world is done, Christ will be the same. He lasts forever, and therefore he satisfies. And he nourishes. Food nourishes. It strengthens us. Good bread. There are indeed junk foods that do not nourish, but hurt and harm. If we do not eat good food, we sicken and die. A few years ago, there was a documentary, a rather silly film in many respects, by an American fellow who determined to live for a certain length of time on McDonald's junk food. Now, that food is not intended to be lived upon, and that was what McDonald's said when the film came out. They said, "Well, this is supposed to be a nice thing to have once in a while. It's not supposed to be your daily meal." But this fellow lived on a diet of McDonald's junk food. His weight ballooned, his health collapsed. Now, there is such a thing as spiritual junk food. There are the cults that provide excitement. The idea that you have new revelation, or secret revelations. The Mormons, for example, they say, "We have a secret book that was revealed to Joseph Smith." But that will not satisfy this spiritual junk food. It has no substance to it. Only Christ has the substance. Only Christ can satisfy. God compares all substitutes to broken cisterns. They're meant to hold water, but there's a crack. And so the water flows away, and they are empty. There is no satisfaction. There is satisfaction. There is life only in Christ. And so there are these great benefits to those who come. And yet there are those who do not come. All mankind is lost in sin. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to a world that is full of lost people. Nobody is born saved, except for one who we know of, John the Baptist. He was regenerated from his mother's womb. That is why when the Lord came to him, when Mary rather came to his mother, John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb, because he had been born again. But for the rest of us, we are born in sin, and all are conceived in sin save the Lord Jesus. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John the Baptist doubted the Lord. John the Baptist was not a perfect man. He was a man like us who sinned and needed the cleansing of the blood of Christ. There are so many who do not come. Why not? Why would these people not come? Because they didn't want to. Because they had their own ideas. Because they were absorbed, taken up by their own selfishness. And yet, you see, what is sin but selfishness in the end? For what was the first sin? And Satan said to our first parents, you will be like God. In other words, you will be independent of God. They were tempted to take their eyes off God, to cease living for God, and to live for themselves and their own glory. That is what sin is. It is self-centeredness. It is a rebellion against God and seeking to live for one's own glory. Who has not sinned? Are there any here who have never sought to live for their own glory, even as Christians? Even after you were converted, have you not desire to do things for yourself without thought of God? We all have, and therefore we all come daily. And therefore the prayer the Lord Jesus taught us says not only give us this day our daily bread, but follows it immediately with and forgive us our trespasses. For daily we need pardon as daily we need food. And yet there are those who come. There are many who come. You have seen me and you do not believe, says Jesus, but all that the Father gives me will come to me. Now this is what theologians call the doctrine of election, that God has chosen certain sinners of his vast love to save sinners, not good people. Not righteous people. Just not look down the corridor of time and see who would believe and say, I will choose that person. But he looks upon a world of sinners lost, of people who hate him, whose hearts are opposed to him, and says, nevertheless, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And he shows his mercy to the world in the Lord Jesus. God, you'll see, is the evangelist behind all our evangelism. We could not take the gospel that people would believe, but God has chosen, and God seeks, and God calls. No one can come to me, verse 44. Unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the only hope we have in evangelism, you see. I can't make anybody believe on the Lord Jesus, because it requires a change of heart. That's what repentance is, a change of the heart. A change that no man can achieve, but God, in his great love, draws those whom he would have. This is for those who say, well, if you believe this, why do you evangelize? Well, we evangelize because we believe that God has his people in this city. That there are people, men and women and boys and girls in this city who are at the moment far from God, whom God has determined to bring to himself even through our poor efforts, even through our weakness. For it is God who must do the drawing. It is God who seeks and saves. It is not that the lost sheep is looking for God, but that God is looking for the sheep. And those who have been given by the Father to the Son will surely come to the Son. And they will come not without preaching. For how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, says Paul? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without somebody to tell them about Jesus? And so we come finally to the call. Because you see, the call goes out to everybody. Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus calls men to come. He says, come and eat of the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anybody eats of this bread, he will live forever. Come and eat, he says. Come and believe. We are not called. Nobody is called to sit back and say, I do not know whether God has chosen me. And until I know, I will not believe. No, we are called to come and to believe on the Lord Jesus. Because how do we know whom the Father has given to the Son? Because they come to the Son. You cannot know whether God has chosen you unless you believe. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can say, I am one of those whom God has given. What is the great proof of election? The great proof that someone has been chosen by God is this, that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are trusting in him, can say, I am trusting him, and therefore I am chosen by the Father. That is how I know, because I believe on the Lord Jesus. And therefore I know I have security in him, the one who comes to me. Have you come? Have you believed on him? The one who has come, the one who comes, by no means cast out. But I will raise him up on the last day. There is assurance of perseverance there. But God's people go on by his grace. A call to believe in him. We are to feed on him. In him is life. And that life is the light of the world. Now this is not referring to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper had not yet been instituted, but the Lord's Supper is referring to it. These elements on the table are not what this passage is about. This passage is what the elements are about. They are a demonstration, a visible sign of what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why they are for believers only. But all who truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are trusting in him, take the elements because they are daily feeding on him by faith, daily looking to him, daily believing, daily coming in faith and repentance, coming unto him at his call. We are called to believe in him, not simply in propositions about him, not in facts about Jesus. That's not enough. It is not enough to believe intellectually he is the Son of God. The demons know that, says James, and they tremble that they have no part or lot in this table. No, it is to trust in him personally. To us the hymn writer puts it, venture on him, venture wholly, and let no other trust intrude. To trust ourselves, trust my whole eternity on him. To live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we see the great problem with mankind in Jesus' complaint. We will not look. We will not look to him as we should for life. We see in the coming that he is the bread of life that came into the world to save sinners. And we see that he calls us to believe in him and therefore by faith to come and eat. And he provides these elements to remind us of what it means. These elements to help our faith. And so all those who are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ have this great encouragement that God is for us. That it is the election and choice of God that is behind your faith. And we are to come and to eat from the table and to drink from the cup because Christ is our life. And he has given up his life. He has died for us. In the ancient sacrifices, there were those that involved the one making the sacrifice eating part of the sacrificial animal, sharing in the sacrifice, deriving life from the sacrifice. Well, there is one sacrifice for sins. Over and past, the cross of Calvary is past. He has died, he has cried, it is finished. There is no more sacrifice. Because the sacrifice has been made. But we eat of the elements to remind us that we do by faith partake of the sacrifice of Christ for sins. And if you are not a Christian, come and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. And you will receive life from him. He is the bread of heaven. He is the one on whom we feed. And as the hymn writer puts it, his flesh is bread indeed. He is life. He alone gives the eternal life. For he alone is the bread that came down out of heaven. Oh, may we eat and be satisfied and nourished unto everlasting life. In Christ's holy name. Amen.